Affect my life, bring on me. Affect my life, bring on me. It's a prayer, it's not a song. Affect my life, bring on me.
As I look to you for help.
Affect my life, breathe on me.
Lord, I look to you for
love. Affect my life, breathe on me.
Lord, I look to you for love.
Affect my life, breathe on me.
Lord, I look to you for love.
Affect my life, breathe.
As I look to you for love,
affect my life, breathe on me.
As I look to you for love,
affect my life,
breathe on me.
It's a prayer.
As I look to you for love,
affect my life, breathe on me.
As I look to you for love.
Affect my life,
breathe on me. As I look to you for life,
affect my life,
breathe on me. As I look to you for life.
It's only men that have been with Jesus that can represent him. When the apostles was manifesting the God dimensions in the book of Acts, the scripture said that they took knowledge of them and they said they have been with Jesus. There is something about a man that encountered Jesus that your life will be a representation, a manifestation of that encounter, such that you don't need to tell men what you encountered. All they need to see is the way you live. All they need is just to hear you, and they will know that there is something beyond what they see in the natural. This is a man I knew before. What happened? Since when did you become who you are now? It's a prayer. We need to cry. A certain dimension of encounter that our generation will testify about. Jesus said, tarry ye. I know you have healed the sick. I sent you two, and you healed the sick. You did a few things. But this one, he said, tarry ye. How many of you are willing to talk? Just 2 minutes. It's just to set your heart on course. So that when we begin to journey, the things that God will bring from Zion will not be too heavy for you to carry. Can you cry for 2 minutes? 2 minutes. Touch me in such a way that I will touch my generation. Until Jesus touches you, you will not be able to touch your generation. Oh. Oh. Oh, 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 oh,
Yes, yes. I see the angels of the living God descending in this place. This is your moment. This is your hour. This is your moment. This is your hour.
Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
In Castina, the will of God will be done.
Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
We speak to the gates of the territory.
Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
I come by the office of my calling.
Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Of the Lord littered everywhere already. What is happening is beyond the people that is here. God is seeking an occasion to invade the territory. What I see is mighty angels in the spirit, and when we lifted our voice, they ran with strong speed. Many things will happen here this night. Oh my God, many things will happen, many things will happen. Oh my God.
others. Let me drink from you. Holy Spirit, living waters, let me drink from you. Holy Spirit, let me drown in you. Living waters, let me drink from you.
Holy Spirit.
Let me hear you.
A thirsty and hungry generation.
Holy Ghost. Let me drown in you.
But follow me softly. You can be seated.
River flow, let eternal river flow. Your church was again. River flow, let eternal river flow.
In Jesus. It's enough. You can be sitting. If we continue this way, we will not achieve much. So, join me in 20 minutes. In 20 minutes time. So you can stop now. Hallelujah. You are welcome to this evening session. You can sit. A season came and Jesus began to do a certain kind of ministry. How many of you are a student and you believe that sometimes your exams in school is not a real proof of what you know? It's because you are a student. The question is, if we didn't give you exams, how do we check what you know? So, if we don't have standards with which we will measure a man's upgrade and progress, then there is a challenge. That means everybody will begin to make judgment arbitrarily. They will suppose that they are correct. They will suppose that they are equipped. They will suppose that they are making progress. So, exams are standards. And you know, exams is made up of questions. Is it not true? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
I'm not hearing you. If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
The amen can be louder. If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
So, exams are made up of questions. Am I right? So, when a man begins to ask you questions, that means he's trying to take something. The questions sometimes is not about the fact that the person doesn't know the answer. Most times, your lecturer or whoever is asking questions, maybe
Some of you will leave here and you begin to go for job interviews. The man that is asking you questions, most of the answers, he knows it. So, he's trying to measure something. Is it not true? If it is true that what your certificate says is what it is, then we suppose that you are equipped to answer this kind of questions. Meanwhile, you can come and tell us you can, but there is no way we will know until you are able to supply answers. Are you not getting the point? So I can't believe you. Let the questions that are set be the proof. So Jesus, most times he says questions for people. That is the way he operates. So the scripture began to tell us in the book of Matthew. I think Matthew chapter 16. Maybe project it. He began to teach us. He said that Jesus came to a place and he began to ask the many people that are gathered there. There were many people gathered. There were many. He now asked them, who do men say that I am? He asked many people. Are you with me? Then they were not able to answer. The sample size now reduced. And he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Follow me now. And when he asked the second question, his disciples, some of them said that you are Jeremiah. Some said you are Elijah. Some said you are many things. I don't have time to dig into that because your capacity to enter into things in God is dependent on your revelation of Christ. Are you with me? So many of us, our journey in God is faulty because the emphasis, the things we picked as the pillars with which we build ourselves as we are making progress, they are wrong. And when things begin to test it, we'll find out that the origin is not in Christ. And anything that cannot be traced to Christ cannot stand the test of time. In the immediate, it will seem as if it will suffice. For example, there are people that got born again and began to make their journey. They are in church because of miracle. Are you with me? It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But when you trace the reason why the man is there, you will find out that there is no Christ at the end. So a season will come, it will seem as if there is dryness in your life, and you pray one or two prayers and the answer is not coming. So certain people will say, God, if you don't give me a job as I finish, the way I serve you, So that kind of man is hinging God's response to him to the fact that God must give him job. When you trace that in long enough, as I said, your governor can answer the prayer. Are you getting the point now? Meanwhile, back to what we are saying. So Jesus began to ask questions to determine that question. He knows the answer, but he needed to determine how much progress these people that have been following him has made. He can easily assume that they know. As a matter of fact, when he asked the question, there were many people following him, and the first set were not able to answer. Then there are the disciples, most of them are up to 500. He asked the question, and they say he is Jeremiah. Some said he's Isaiah. Some said he's Elijah. Now, Jesus is no so bothered. How many of you have cared to go through the scripture, especially the gospels? You will notice that when anything goes wrong, for example, when Jesus was, he came and his disciples were trying to deliver the epileptic young man. And Jesus turned and rebuked the spirit. And then he spoke to his disciples and said, ye faithless and perverse generation. The question you ask yourself, why is it that Jesus never rebuked any other set of people except his disciples? The reason is hinged in the word perverse. I don't have time. A perverse man is a man. Have you seen, let's assume you are a mother and you took your son through primary school. You gave him everything he needs to become whom he's supposed to be. In fact, some of us lived in the hostel on campus, but there are some people that had self-contained. And then there is freezer, all kinds of things. Cartons of all stuff. You know the things. But don't mind the way I look. We came the hard way. How many of you know, you know what is Gary? That thing has saved life for eternity. Are you with me? So that's our own. When they are giving you beverages, that's our own beverage. Are you with me? Now, follow me. But there, imagine when you step ahead. These things are good. You now get those beverages, all the big ones, for your child. Pays his school fees. Gives him allowance. There is a guy we checked his account balance when we were in campus. And it was reading 1 point something million. My fellow student,
Meanwhile, I don't have transport money to travel back home. When evening is coming like this, my heart will be skipping. Because there is nothing to end. Now, you as a mother has provided all these things for your son. And the person, that is what we call in campus those days, there are categories of certificate and results. There is what we call university attended. How many of you have heard of it? University attended. That is just to say you attended university. And the person appeared, he can't do anything. There is no difference. As a matter of fact, he became worse. What do you call that type of person? If you are Jesus, he will call you perverse. Are you now getting the point? Perverse is a set of people that has been brought into series of education. And then things have been released for them to function from the platform of that education. You educated somebody, gave him what it takes to live it. Then he appeared. And when a challenge comes that requires that resource and education to solve, the person couldn't do anything about it. So you become worried. If he's others, Jesus is not bothered because he never taught them. They never slept with him. They never ate with him. Is it not true? But there is a set of people he's pouring himself to. So he expected a different kind of result. So when the teachings of Jesus, instructions and impartations, the release of life in men is not producing the required and expected result, you are perverse. I don't want to go there because we have many people that are perverse here. You are born again. You speak in tongues, right? For how long now? 3 years. Imagine somebody has spoken in tongues for 3 years and your life is like this. No wonder. Do you know how long it took those men to become apostles? They just stayed with Jesus 3.5 years and they became the kind of men they are. In our time, you stay 10 years, they will still be calling you baby. They will be keeping you in children's church and teenage church. The teenage. You are not a teenager. It's not about physical age, it's about the things you encountered, interacted with. Huh? And the ancient wisdom you interact with can make you old. John the Beloved, the one that followed Jesus, that is part of the apostles, he was a teenager. But he was numbered amongst the apostles, the elders. When a man is wise, he begins to interact with elders. Even when men see you, they will know that there is a spirit with which you function. The one that was on Elihu. When elders were not able to profess solution, Elihu appeared. He said, there is a spirit in man. And then the inspiration of the Most High giveth him what? Understanding. So when Jesus begins to ask this kind of question, that means it's expected that others don't know the answer. But you are supposed to know the answer. The reason why you are supposed to know the answer is the education that God has given you and the path and dealings that he has allowed you to pass through. So in certain seasons in your life, there are things he expects to come out of your life. And there are answers you are supposed to give. Not because of your cognitive capacity. It is because of the dealings and the experiences that God has passed you through. Are you with me now? Follow me. If you are with me, say amen. Amen. Meanwhile, I know you might not be able to flow at my frequency, but I'm speaking to your spirit. Because there are many things we need to do. An elder in the faith came like this when we were doing youth service many years ago. He now spoke to us. I said, Kai, this thing is telling us it will take us 3 years, 5 years. Yeah, I said it's a lie. Me that have, you know how many times I read my Bible by then? We had a 5 month strike before that time. And I spent all of them in school. I was chewing my Bible for money, sometimes for 2 days straight. I'm doing Bible study. And somebody came and said, I don't understand what he's saying. I didn't know that there are vistas in the spirit. When my eyes began to open and I saw that, you see, this word is like chambers. In the word, let me use the word like chambers of secrets. And they have the will of their own. That is why the entrance into the dimension of truth is called revelation. It is called revelation because it will take a being, the one that authored it, to open it for you to enter. Are you getting the point? So until that thing is open, you can't enter. You can be making efforts. So there are certain scriptures you have read 10 times, but the truth there and the life there has not come out. Is this the key you were using before? Go back to that one. So Jesus met his disciples and asked a question. He has asked others, they didn't answer. He now pointed at his disciples to say, who do you people say that I am? And when he asked the question, the scripture said that Peter, by the Spirit, he said, thou art what? Christ, the Son of the living God. That kind of answer cannot be given except the Spirit empowers it. Meanwhile, it seems as if the man that sent Jesus was sent, and they told him that there are pointers for you to understand certain seasons in the progression of God's agenda that has been committed to you. Every man of the Spirit must understand those tokens. You must understand the meaning of the things that is in the Spirit. For example, the man that sent John told him, as you are baptizing, when you see the dove resting on a man, and he comes and rests, know that that is the one. So John came baptizing, not because he wants to baptize, but baptism is the instrument, the means, the technology through which we identify the Christ. As soon as he identified the Christ, John stopped baptism. Have you checked? Go and check. As soon as he told his disciple, I follow this person, this is the one we are talking about. That is to show you that all those things that is happening, we are checking. Once we now see something happen, we will now know that it's time to change realm, change mode, change actions, line with what God is doing. So Jesus was asking questions, not because he doesn't know the answer, but he's asking questions to know where we are now in the junction, in God's program. So had even nobody was able to answer it, Jesus will not supply the answer. I hope you know. Because he's not asking what he doesn't know. He's asking to know if we have reached the point in the progression of agenda where he will move on to the next stage. So it seems as if the person that sent him told him that whenever a man is able to answer this thing, then know that it is time. So he asked the question. When Peter answered, he said, flesh and blood have not what? Revealed this, but my father has revealed it to you. So Jesus, after them, began to teach them many things. How the Son of Man is going to die. Because he now knew that there are certain things he can't teach them before then. Are you with me? Follow me. Meanwhile, many of the things that Jesus taught these men, they thought they understood it, but they didn't. Because it is not as if they don't want to. The scripture said, Jesus said, I have many things to tell you. But you cannot bear them. What does it mean? I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them. There are many, they are much. Not necessarily. It's not about being much. I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them. What does it mean? Capacity. Say after me, capacity. The answer is capacity. If you have the capacity, if you like, let it be 100. It's not about how much, it's about capacity. So in this case, revelation is not the issue. Utterance is not the issue. What the challenge here is capacity. So Jesus is limited in his ministry to the tone of the capacity of the men who are his audience. So what Jesus does is that any place he appears, he begins to trace the capacity of the audience that is listening to him. It is from there that we know the fountain of revelation to bring out. Because it doesn't matter what you pour out. If men's capacity have not reached the point at which they can interact with those truths, it will be too hard for them. What can I discuss with certain people? If you tell them to pray for 8 hours, they will think, can a human being actually pray for more than 2 hours? You see, the problem is not what you are saying. The problem is capacity. Because there are places where you speak that kind of thing. Everybody there has spoken in tongues for 10 hours in their life. So they understand they can bear the truth. Are you with me? So when I say bear it, I'm not saying you can't hear it. But your heart can't receive it. Your heart is still down. You need to be upgraded. There are many men that will leave this meeting the same. Do you know why? Their heart is down. They don't understand the oppressions that is held up in the realms of God. They think some of the things we are doing is for some certain people, is bigger than them. So they don't want to measure up.
Meanwhile, God can't come down. The standard of God is sure. So all he does is by his act of mercy, he will begin to upgrade you to where he is. Because what it takes for you to administrate your destiny is locked up at an energy level. So unless you come up, you will never access them. Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but you lack the capacity.
Don't play any song. Is this the key you had before? This is not the key. This is not the key. Help him and find a key. And softer. Amen. So let's touch one or two things. Okay. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. Genesis. I want us to look into priesthood and purpose. Priesthood and purpose. Priesthood and purpose. How many of you have read the book of Ephesians? And the scripture spoke about the eternal purpose of God. Have you read it? Benga, have you read it? What is the eternal purpose of God? So what are you doing now? Because I've seen men that said they have discovered their purpose and they don't know God's purpose. What have you discovered? You don't know what you discovered. Have you seen such men? God said, I will be a politician. I will start a school. I will do this. Meanwhile, you have not been able to trace what is the eternal purpose of God. You are just wasting time. Because what men call purpose is actually an offshoot of the eternal purpose of God. So that purpose is relevant to the extent to which it lines up with God's ultimate agenda. Are you with me? So what is God's eternal purpose? When we mean eternal purpose, we mean things that was traveling before time began. There are things that we are operating before time began. Are you with me? God had a desire in his heart. And when a man has a desire, the next thing he does is to generate a purpose. And when a purpose comes, then a plan will come. Are you with me? It is the plan that will show how we are going to actualize the purpose. Is it not true? So we need to travel. So Paul began to show us in the book of Ephesians. Help me and find a sound. Help me and find a sound. We need to find help here because we are in trouble if we can't find it. Reduce the volume and find it. You know, when people like us preaches, you might think it's teaching and preaching we are doing. No. Well, the least of what I'm doing here is preaching and teaching, actually. That's the least. Because I'm speaking, there is activation already. There is impartation already. No, you don't need to say amen. I'm telling you, now what for you? Have you watched news before? Eh? And they are now casting news. You now say, amen. The person casting the news is not aware of what you are saying. He's just casting news for you. So if you say amen, it's for your own faith. But your amen does not nullify what is happening. As I'm speaking, some of you will feel fire burning in your heart. As I'm speaking, some of you will feel crown on your head. You will feel it like a band, a crown. Some of you will feel as if there is an impartation on your spine. The spine of your back will be burning. I don't have time to tell you what those things mean. Are you with me? Some of you will feel your feet. It will seem as if it is warm, your feet. Meanwhile, we are just talking. We are discussing. But there are angels everywhere. Are you with me? We have not found. Help me and go and find sound. Help me. Get up and help me. We are limited. This is not the sound. The voice I'm looking for is not this. Find it. Find it. You know, some of us are like Elisha. Don't blame me. Are you with me? Eh? Some of us are like Elisha. Elisha said, go and find a minstrel for me. Are you with me? So, when the minstrel now played, what happened? You have not read the place? When the minstrel played, what now happened?
The Spirit of God came on him. It is a combination. There is division of labor. Are you not getting the point? It's not as if we can't talk without it, but it will make our job easier. Actually, I didn't start my training with this. So follow me now. Follow me. So this is Jesus' attempt to bring men up to speed. So when he asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" and somebody answered, he began to teach them things. In fact, when he spoke the next words, it was obvious that those men were not equipped to carry what he was saying. So he said, "The Son of Man will die. After 3 days, he will resurrect." The scripture said, Peter took him. How many of you have read it? Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. That is to show you that they lack the capacity to interact with that level of truth. Do you even know what Jesus was trying to say? According to the Jew, the Messiah is the one that is supposed to restore the self-government of the kingdom of Israel. So these men that were his disciples, when they heard that he was the Messiah, all that was on their mind is that how many of you have seen the sons of Zebedee? This one said, "In your resurrection, I will sit at your left hand," and not even resurrection, when you ascend, "I will sit at the left and at the right." So they are interested in the positions that they will attain by association. Meanwhile, they didn't know that the man that came to do the work he was doing, that the only way for him to release that kind of power was for him to die. So when Jesus now appeared and said, "I'm going to die," Peter said, "Oga, stop this joke. All our hope is on you. We are hoping that when you become the next governor, our prayer is answered." Are you getting the point? This thing I'm saying is a deep mystery. Because sometimes God will say, tell some people, "I've lifted you up." And because of the religious teaching we received, what they interpret as lifting up means that you will give them car, give them husband, give them wife. And then when God said, "I've lifted you up," he will send you to a mission field where there is no light, there is no electricity. And when you appear there, you say, "Oh God, is this what you mean? I rebuke you from dying." That's what Peter said. Because they don't understand that according to Jesus, he said, except the corn of wheat falls down to the ground and dies, what happens? It abides alone. So in the kingdom, fruitfulness is traced to death. Death to self. Death to your ambition. Death to agenda. There are many things you will want to do that death will have to come on it so that God can prosper in your life. So God cannot prosper in the lives of men that death have not walked into. The cross will walk into your heart. Then from then, God will begin to profit from your life. Are you getting the... So when Jesus begins to speak, you have to receive capacity to interact with it. Because many of them, you will not want to. When I finished youth service, I was the state prayer secretary, NCCF, Ogun State, many years ago. So those days, my God, God anointed us. Those days, we'll finish prayer meeting. I'll just sit on, there is an uncompleted building across our family house. I will just stretch my hand like this. Anybody that comes in the perimeter of my hand will fall under power. I was an enigma. I thought I've arrived. So God began to tell me of the mighty things that we do through me. And just like an average young man, as soon as God begins to say that, you begin to think of where to preach and where to do things. You will know that what God is saying, "I'm taking you to where to die." You are not with me. What do you call ministry? What do you call the purpose of God? The life that you have in the life that you have in the natural lacks the capacity to achieve God's agenda. The job you have in the natural, even though it's a good job, it lacks the capacity to achieve God's agenda. So the cross have to enter into it and kill anything that is not Christ in it, so that only Jesus alone will be seen. It is only then that the kingdom will prosper in your life. So many times we hear the things that God said they want to do through us, and we have not cared to pass it through the cross and then get to the point where fruitfulness will come. The fruitfulness that came from death. So when we heard it, we rejoiced. We didn't know that thing that God said doesn't mean jump out. So some people, God said, "I've called you as a prophet unto nations. I will take you places." They didn't know that is a call to priesthood. I'm going to show you priesthood and purpose. Is it not what I said? I want to show you priesthood and purpose. So when God calls them and tells them, I'm going to raise you as a voice to rescue women from this and that, a person that have not understood purpose will try to achieve that agenda in the flesh. You begin to set up, you can even set up many foundations and agencies trying to achieve an agenda that was spoken by a spirit. No, you have to learn priesthood first. Are you with me? Because if it is true that you will achieve that very purpose that is in the heart of God, you must learn the way of God. There is a way that God achieves his agenda. Are you with me? And that way is called the way of priesthood. So when God says he called you, one of the things, the proof that he called you, is that he will put you into a series of dealings. So by the time you come out, you become a new man. So if they know people that is coming from your family as liars, that you have a tendency for greed in your heart. Meanwhile, God called you, he said, I will use you to finance the kingdom and send people as missionaries to many places. But you still have greed in your heart. Meanwhile, you are looking for one pastor to lay hands on, and you are sowing, even sowing seed, and say, when I sow this seed now, something will break in my life and God will begin to use me. You have missed the point. The point is that you need to pass through death. That is where you will be fruitful. And until the greed in your heart dies, then the purposes of God will never find expression through your heart. I say my message is hard. I know it will be hard for people to receive it, but that's the truth. That is the point of fruitfulness. Castina, that's the point of fruitfulness. You must learn priesthood. Are you with me? So this is the eternal purpose of God. God is a king, but a certain season, according to the book of Ephesians, he said he wanted to have a family. It was then that he became a father. Meanwhile, the identity of his offspring is first of all a spiritual reality. So when the scripture said in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, said, let us make man in our image. That is to show you that whatever man became is already a reality in God's realm. Are you with me? They just brought that being into this manifest realm. It's just a copycat. You are just a copycat. They just brought you here. Are you getting the point now? And the purpose of that man is let them have dominion. Meanwhile, for that man to be able to have dominion, he has to become a certain kind of man. He said what? Let us make man in our image. One and two. What? So imagine a man trying to achieve the purposes of God that has not cared to trace his alignment to the image and the likeness of God. That is an agenda in futility. Are you now getting the point? As a matter of fact, when you go to the book of Romans chapter 8, project it, let's see, verse 28. If you are fast, we can use it. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. Go to 29. Okay. Are you seeing this scripture now? Watch. He said, for whom he did foreknow. The question is, where did God know you? My sister. He said, for whom he did foreknow. Have you heard the scripture in the book of Jeremiah? The scripture said, before you entered your mother's womb, I knew thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto nations. Not when you are in your mother's womb. Before you entered. So there is a foreknowledge that God has of us. Are you now getting the point? That one that God knew is the one that will deliver our generation. The answer to the problems that is plaguing our nation and plaguing the world is tied to that one that God had foreknowledge about. Meanwhile, many things will happen. Before you come from that realm to this realm, many things have happened. And when you appear here, part of the education that will be brought into and part of the things that will release the manifestation of the purpose that was in the heart of God, even when you are a seed of eternity, is that you will learn the way of priesthood. It is when you begin to learn the way of priesthood, then you will gradually become the one that God saw. Now, this is the target of foreknowledge. Follow. He said, also did he predestinate to be what? To the image.
So this is what this scripture means. It means that even before you appeared on the face of the earth, if it is true that God will fulfill the purpose that he has in your own dimension through your life, it can only be achieved to the degree that you have been conformed to the image. Meanwhile, this conformation is something that came as a predestination. I mean, you don't have choice. God has ordained that if any man will be able to accomplish his purposes upon the face of the earth, that the only way that he can even attempt to start is that he will be like this. So the scripture said that he might be the firstborn. So there is a man that was the firstborn. You are created in the image of somebody. Actually, Adam was created to measure up to the image of that person. Are you not seeing it? So when Adam defaulted, that one have to come in the flesh. When he came, we saw the eternal Christ manifest as man. And the scripture was telling us in the book of Philippians chapter 2, he was listing to us the steps and requirements in priesthood. He said that man suffered. He suffered. Even he was obedient, even to death, not just normal death, the death of the cross. It was then that the scripture said that God has highly what? Exalted him. It is from that exalted place that he began to exert dominion. Dominion is not from the ground. Dominion is from up. So this man entered into a series of dealings and suffering that have the capacity to release the dimension of authority it takes for him to administrate his destiny. Meanwhile, the scripture called him in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 28. He said that he is the firstborn. Say after me, firstborn. It means that he became like that. And he became like that in the way he became it, so that any other man that intends to fulfill his purpose in God doesn't need to look far. All you need to do is to find out how the one that did it first did it. And that is the only way you can do it. Are you now getting where we are going? Okay, we can now do one or two teaching in 10 minutes. Then we pray. So Genesis chapter 14. Verse 18. Okay, good. Now, the scripture said, remember, we are looking at priesthood and purposes. What is priesthood? Who can answer me? What is priesthood? No, sit down now. You are here. What is priesthood? But you have read the Bible, and the scripture said that your God has made us unto himself kings and priests. How many of you have read it? You have quoted it. You have even used it to... You know, some people quote the scripture to boast. Meanwhile, there is no reality in them. You have heard my story now. When I was doing youth service, I prayed, appeared one night, and said, I'm now in charge of this territory now. As soon as I was saying it in the night, it was this side, I was facing this side. A being now appeared. And when he appeared, remember I've told you that before I went to youth service, I've read my Bible many times. But when that being appeared, I forgot everything I know in the Bible. The only thing I remembered was Jesus is Lord. Have you not noticed when you appear in the spirit, especially in your dream, and certain things are happening, at that juncture, the only thing you remember, in fact, you will forget many things. For some people too, physically, they are not so strong. I've seen there is a young lady I know. Physically, she's slim like me. But she's very brutal. If you meet her in the spirit, she will eat you raw. But I've seen some people that are like this physically, in the spirit. Small children that they are teaching in primary school will tell you, teacher, I will show you in the night. Because that one is bogus in the flesh, in the spirit, is a baby. Let's go back to Genesis. He said, and Melchizedek, king of what? Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, this place is so deep. There is a song we used to sing now. Until I am drunk, until I am drunk. Look at it. They said wine. But what the scripture said here is bread and what? Say after me, bread and wine. If you take only wine, you are in trouble. So what I've noticed is that even in our generation, men that are pursuing God, they are only interested in wine. They just want drunkenness and, you know, power. Everything is moving. They can't sit down in teachings like this. They are lightweight in the spirit. Have you pumped a balloon and sent it up before? The thing will be moving by the pressure that is in the air. Atmospheric pressure will be shifting it. Meanwhile, if there is no wine, you won't lift the ground. So is the wine and bread. Meanwhile, the scripture said that he is a king, but he is also the priest of the Most High. It's contradictory if you are looking at it from the standpoint of time and humanity. Are you with me? Normally, a king is not the priest. There is a king, and another person will be the priest. Is it not true? That is not how God functions. In the eternal dimensions of God, the king has to be the priest. As a matter of fact, what it takes for the king to mature to what his throne requires is priesthood. Now watch. The target of this kind of ministry is that when men interact with the bread and wine, they will come into maturity. And it's only mature people that can execute God's plan. You see, you need to understand that the purpose, eternal purpose of God, as I said, is sonship. Sapam is sonship. God was looking for sons. Remember where we read, he said that the firstborn, he's looking for sons. And for him to get sons, he got a son first. And then patterned other sons after that first son. Meanwhile, when he was trying to achieve it in Adam, Adam was not able to get to the point. Because God's intent is that as he begins to interact with the tree of life, then maturity will enter into him. He was a full grown man naturally, but in the spirit he was still a babe. So God couldn't get a son in him. So the purpose of dominion through Adam was not achieved, because God never got the kind of son that he needed. So he got that son in Christ. Are you with me? And began to pattern men after that firstborn. Meanwhile, God's intent is that through the process by which Jesus became the matured son. As a matter of fact, when the scripture was speaking in the book of Galatians chapter 2, that even though a man is a heir, but as long as he has not matured, he will stay under government. Originally, that scripture is speaking about Jesus. He was under government for long. Even the scripture testified that he was under his parents' government for many years until he became the man. And the scripture testified, I said, this is my beloved son. And then Pilate came to a point as a representative of human government upon the face of the earth. He said, this is the man. It was then that Jesus became the qualified and matured man that will be able to die for your sins and become a representation of a new race of men. Are you with me? So if it is the pattern through which Jesus was able to accomplish his purpose, it will now become a pattern that he has set for us, that every other person that wants to enter into his ordination and fulfill the purposes of God that was on his life, that is on his life, that man have to follow that pattern. Are you now seeing where we are going? So this man, the priest of the Most High, brought bread and wine. Now let's check the next verse. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. The question is this: who is this Melchizedek? Who is Melchizedek? We need to know. Because he brought on the scene what we have never seen before. I've heard men say many things. They speak about the law. They speak about the priesthood of Aaron. But they don't understand these things. The eternal priesthood came on earth before Aaronic priesthood came. Faith was on earth before law came. Are you getting the point? So, it is... How many of you have heard people say that tithe is the law and you believed it? Raise your hand. This is the first place that tithe was mentioned. And the man that gave it by faith. Are you not seeing the point? As a matter of fact, according to the book of Hebrews, when the law itself offered tithe in faith. So faith is the first. And the eternal priesthood is the first. Before the Aaronic priesthood, I don't have time to analyze to you the Aaronic priesthood. But let's see Melchizedek. Because it seems as if the pattern of priesthood that he set is the one that is already in heavens. Something happened and they brought all kinds of priesthood. But if it is true that we achieve God's agenda, we have to understand once again this Melchizedek order. So who is Melchizedek? What is his order? Let's do another scripture. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. Hebrews 7, verse 1. Maybe you need to write it down. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. Now he said, for this Melchizedek, king of what? Priest of what? Who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of kings and blessed him. Verse 2. Verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being by interpretation king of righteousness. After that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Hey, there is only one person that I know that have this name. But I don't, let's use Bible to interpret. So the next one, verse 3 is where we are stopping. Now look at. Stay here. Stay here. Increase the volume small. God bless you. Hi. I just felt a ventilation in my... Man, you see, I'm not laboring. You know, people say they labor for Christ. It's not, our labor is not like that. By the Spirit, I have to enjoy what I'm doing. If not, I will be weary. If not, because of people, one day I will give up. No, I get my inspiration from outside. My river is inside. So we have gone to places where people stood on the fence and they were yabbing us. We continue preaching the gospel because our motivation is inside. Let me stop. Now, he said, verse 3. Now, look at it. This is the qualification of this man that is called Melchizedek. He said, without what? Without what? And then, without mother. Without descent. Having neither beginning of days, nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. It was Jesus that came. Melchizedek is a similitude of the Christ, the eternal Son of God. So when he appeared that place, it was to the Son of God that Abraham offered his tithe. So when Jesus came and met those Jews, he said, before Abraham I was, they don't understand. No, wait. We are looking at something. He said his priesthood abided continually. It is from this place that we began to understand that there is a pattern that is eternal in scope. Priesthood is not earthly, it's not time, it's eternal. So a man came from eternity and began to show us the pattern of priesthood. It was then that we realized that the plans and purposes of God will never be actualized until men learn priesthood. You don't know how to pray, you can't fast,
You don't know obedience. God can't tell you to do something and you do it. And then you say you want to do something for God. What are you doing for God's sake? What do you think you are doing for God? There is an order that is set. And every man that will be correct, we have to find that path. This is an eternal principle. I want you to show me 6:20. Hebrews 6:20. So that I will balance this. There is a place I'm going. I don't know if we get there. Imagine.
God will help us.
He said that the forerunner is entered. Are you with me? So that we confirm. Look at it. We that the forerunner is for us entered. Even who? Made an high priest forever. After what? Actually, you can sit down. Actually, the book of Hebrews is a book of priesthood. If you want to understand priesthood, you either read Leviticus. But if you want to see it from New Covenant and New Testament perspective, you have to read the book of Hebrews. As a matter of fact, the book of Hebrews is an attempt to compare two priesthood. The priesthood of the law, the priesthood of Aaron, and the priesthood of faith, and the priesthood of Melchizedek. Are you with me now? It is a comparison of two priesthood, their strength and their weaknesses. You see, so from what I wrote here, he said, Melchizedek is a priesthood by faith, and Moses is a priesthood by the law. So when the book of Hebrews began to teach us, reduce a little, it began to teach us, we began to see that every single thing that Moses was doing is just a representation, a shadow of heavenly substance. Are you with me? I'm about to show you a mystery now. If you open to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think verse 45, show us. Maybe start from verse 44. You will now understand your inclusion in God's plan. You will now understand your inclusion in God's agenda. Huh? Now, when God operated by an eternal priesthood, his intent is that whatever he did will transcend time.